panoply, panorama, panpipe, pansy, aha, pansexual, knowing no boundaries of sex or gender. Sound interesting? Then join Sally on Sundays at noon for Out of the Pan. All those gender questions making you think too hard? Whether it's transgender, bisexual, polyamorous or beyond, we'll throw those questions into the pan and cook up the answers for you. So go on, push that gender envelope, only on 3CR 855am digital and 3cr.org.au.
Everybody. 3CR, 855 AM, 3CR Digital, 3CR.org.au, 3CR On Demand, Out of the Pan with Sally, first broadcasting noon Sundays, Australian Eastern Standard Time. Yes, we're, well, the time is standard, but 3CR's radio is always exceptional, and I'll talk about that in a second. What a way to open the show. However, more importantly than anything, we open the show by acknowledging that we're on Aboriginal lands, the lands of the Kulin Nation, at the overlap of the Wurundjeri and Bunurong peoples. And we pay respects to elders past, present and emerging. Hello to any Aboriginal, Torres Strait Islander, First Nations people tuning in. And we acknowledge that all the lands were stolen and never ceded. I'm Sally Goldner. I use the pronoun she and her. And this show is Out of the Pan, a show covering, as I like to jokingly say, pansexual issues, knowing no boundaries of sex, gender or genre. And we'll certainly be talking about that today. Introduce my wonderful guests in a second. At 12:30, I'll have another guest on the Zoom waves. And that's Sam Nicaresti, who has a show in the Melbourne International Comedy Festival. But it's all arts today. If you want to communicate with me about all the yarts, or is that Y-A-R-T-Z? You can do so on all the modern means of technology. You can email outofthepan855@gmail.com, SMS 61456751215, Twitter, Mastodon, Blue Sky, and Instagram at Sal Gold Said So, and that's the bottom line. And look for posts on Facebook under my name, Sally Goldner AM, and Out of the Pan 3CR, 855 AM Melbourne, postal address, PO Box 1277, Collingwood 3066. Any opinions I express on the show are my own. Don't think there'll be any content notes today. I think we started with a positive content note because joining me live in the studio on vocals was Max, and accompanied by the wonderful Naomi on guitar. And when I heard that song, Everybody, Max, and it was just like, oh, I've been uplifted and soothed at the same time. It's like having, I don't know, coffee and antidepressants or something together in a nice, safe way. Welcome to 3CR.
Oh, hi. Thanks for having us today.
Thank you for coming in, particularly on this long weekend.
Happy chocolate eating day.
Yes, happy chocolate eating day. And yes, indulge in a dentally and sugar amount safe way, everybody. Something though that, is, as I say, safe and beautiful was that song. I'm just going to start there. What inspired you to write that particular song, Everybody? And thank you for playing it live too.
Well, thanks for letting us be here and playing it in this beautiful space. I love 3CR. I've been here once before and it's just, I just love the community vibe here. Mm. So Nay and I wrote this song together. Actually, we've written this, there's a whole album coming Indeed. That we've written together. But this particular song, we felt like the album had touched on a lot of themes to do with unconditional love, and but a lot of the pain that comes along with searching for unconditional love. So we really wanted to piece the whole record together with that, you know, that message that we all belong. You know, we all belong in this world together, and we all connect. And it's just this big, it's really just a big love song. And that's why when we recorded it, we made it with a choir. So that we could kind of get that message across as a big unit, you know?
Yeah. Well, let's get the shout out to the choir. Was it a particular choir? Sorry.
No. So there was a call out that we did on Instagram, just for people to come along. So it was made up of community members.
Oh wow!
We live on Bunurong Country in Fingal on the Mornington Peninsula. So it was a few people from there. Some people had already come from different choirs. And then a few people from Melbourne and some artists as well. I don't know if you know Karen Fields.
We all love Karen Fields.
We all love Kezzy. And a few other people as well, Marty Williams in Cousin Leonard. And it was just a really great way to spend, I don't know, the final pieces of making the record. Mm,
it was the last, the last bunch of stuff done in that space.
And celebrating with everybody. Yeah.
Cool. I know of Karen Fields, I'm going to meet her on Thursday night. I'm doing a songwriting workshop with her myself, which I'm really looking forward to.
Give her a big squeeze for us.
I will give her a consensual e-squeeze, indeed. And let's go back a bit, though. Where did the love of music first? Where did you first become aware of it? When did it all start? Those sorts of things, influences, anything you like in that sort of broad ballpark.
I think when I was younger, I always sang before I could string full sentences together. I just liked making noises and liked the sound of my voice. But when I decided I really wanted to learn music, one of my brother's friends actually played the piano, and he was phenomenal. And I saw him once in an old person's home playing for them, and they were tipping him with money, and I was like, oh, this looks like a good job. Little did I know, I am not making that much money doing my music nowadays, but
what? But artists not making money, sadly, who'd have thunk it, through his spit, yes.
But yeah, I begged to have piano lessons, and was lucky after, all of that begging that they took me to piano lessons, but they wouldn't buy me a piano for a very long time until I showed that I really was into it. Mm-hmm. And so they gave me this cardboard cutout of a keyboard, and I took it everywhere, like to the supermarket, to the shops, like everywhere we went. Wowzies. I tapped on this thing, like I was so obsessed. And then, yeah, I became obsessed with singing and making songs. So they did it. They got me a piano, and it was kind of history from there.
And there you went. and so that was, well, as you say, from as long as you can remember, which is pretty cool. And, you know, now you're playing away. I was going to ask you, recently did the Seven Sisters Festival, which with some sadness, the last one. How was the gig? How was the feels down at the festival?
It was beautiful, and they are doing it again.
Oh!
Yeah, so it's
been... By popular demand.
Yeah, hopefully that's not breaking news.
Yeah, hopefully not. I'm pretty sure someone's taken over. They didn't say it was
a secret
when they told me, so that's okay. but it was stunning. It's a beautiful festival. It's a very it's very safe, and you feel free and comfortable to express yourself and sort of and just connect with so many women. It's beautiful. Yeah.
Yeah, it's incredible.
Yeah.
Mm. Oh, everybody would have just fitted in perfectly.
Yeah. The ground alone is like the space it's on.
It's stunning.
Yeah. No, I went to a Seven Sisters Festival. Well, it seems like, you know, ages ago. It was BC before COVID. so that's, you know, who knows when that was. But
yeah.
It did feel warm in a energetic sense there, which is really, really cool.
Yeah.
Want to do another song now?
Yeah, of course. Absolutely.
All right. Well, let's do it. And tell us a little about this song first time, so it's not a complete surprise for our listeners.
This is our latest single. It's called Little Blue, and it was written for my baby brother, who's not a baby anymore. He has a baby of his own. But I was deeply... just affected by something he was going through, and I wanted him to know that we loved him, and it was just an overall message in the end to check in on your loved ones. So this was for H. It's called Little Blue.
All right, then I'll turn my microphone off and you can hit it whenever you want.
Just a mess. I try to just get up and get dressed. 3CR has all kinds of music programs for you to hear. From blues to hip-hop, reggae, classical, punk, jazz, soul, indigenous, experimental, indie, metal and other music styles. Check out 3cr.org.au on the World Wide Web for more info.
3CR 855 AM, 3CR Digital, 3cr.org.au and 3CR On Demand, Out of the Pan with Sally, first broadcasting noon through one every Sunday afternoon. Thanks for your company. Now back at standard time, and nothing standard about the beautiful track we just heard from Naomi on guitar with Maxon on vocals, and that song was Little Blue. Tell us a bit more about making the album. This is the debut album, if I got it right. Yeah. Ooh, yeah. Was that, how did it feel? Because, I mean, I suppose that's, sort of musicians' immediate, a lot of musicians, it's fair to say, I think that would be their immediate sort of medium-term goal. So what was it like making it? How did it all feel? All that sort of thing.
It's been a very long time coming. I've been doing music for about 15 years, but I just I didn't know that I could tackle it, to be honest. And then I spent a little bit of time away from music, long story short, was really not doing too well, not singing and writing and expressing myself. So I picked up the guitar after 6 months of not playing or singing at all, and wrote a few songs and just felt like myself again. And so I decided to properly go for it in that moment, and released a couple of singles, and then went for a grant and got a grant to make this album. And it just allowed me a bit of space and time to actually do it and feel like an actual artist for the first time in my life. That's kind of why we got to start making the album. I made a single with the producer, John Osteer, who's incredible. And after that, I was like, I definitely want to make a record with him. And now here we are a few years later.
Here you are. And I'm tongue in cheek, you've warmed my heart even more because you used the word record.
Classic.
Yes. Does remind me to ask, I mean, what formats Talking with Strangers available on? I suppose it's a good question to ask at that point.
On Bandcamp, of course, you can get the digital CD or vinyl at the moment.
Oh, so it is on CD?
CD,
Middle technology people like me.
I just like that piece of, it's like a little piece of artwork that you get to take home with you after a gig, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Which leads, brilliant, you should be on radio. gigs, we talked about a gig that you've just done. What, any gigs in the proverbial pipeworks coming up anywhere big big, small, pubs, halls, Rod Laver Arena? No.
We will eventually be doing a bit of a tour around the country, but we're playing with our seven-piece band for the album launch in May at the Toff in town. May the 7th.
May the 7th?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Top of the town.
Yep. And we're doing a seated show, and I've got my good friend Tom Millington doing a sound healing prior to our performance.
Ooh.
So he'll be bringing all of his bowls and traditional instruments, and there'll be it'll just be a nice, calm environment for everyone to walk into. I'm really excited for that because I hate getting to a gig and not knowing what's going on and being really overstimulated. So I just want everyone to come in, take a seat, feel really good, and then we're going to make them feel even better.
That's the goal.
Overstimulated. Do I detect neurodivergence?
Look, I'm not diagnosed, but 100%.
Yeah.
I think we just call ourselves spicy brains.
Yes.
Spicy creative brains. It's yeah.
Cool. So whereabouts, apart from gigs, can people buy and Bandcamp? Just to make sure I've got all the possibilities there, can people buy your album in whatever format?
Yeah. So the vinyls will be coming very soon. If anyone lives on the Mornington Peninsula, we're doing home delivery with cups of tea.
Oh, my gosh.
And we're really excited about that. And we've actually had a few people, they're like, we'll make you a cake. And like, so it's going to be a full affair. We're going to have a great month delivering our vinyls. But, yeah, Bandcamp's probably the best place to go and do that. And my website as well, which is it's me, Maxon, maxon.com.
Yep. And that is also your Instagram handle as well.
It is.
Are there any other socials?
Instagram's the best place, I think. I'm across all of the other things, but I don't do it very well.
Yeah, well, says me who got the last particular platform up at 1 minute to midday today. So, and of course, the album is, the official release date is this week.
April 8th, Wednesday, yeah,
At 1 minute after midnight, or
yeah, it will actually be, yep, 1 minute after midnight. You're all correct. Right,
cool. Australian Eastern Standard Time.
Yes.
Oh, look. Talking of that, I wish we had more to discuss it, but I'm really appreciative that you came in on the long weekend, both of you, and
no, it's
Silas.
Great. We're off to a family lunch after this, so we're excited to be up in the city. This is not a frequent venture for us. So.
The big smog, as I call the city. Well, look, Melbourne isn't too bad. It's not Los Angeles or something.
Yeah.
But look, well, enjoy the lunch, enjoy the weekend, but most of all, enjoy the music. Keep creating beautiful songs for us all, and wish you a fantastic career, have a great lunch today. Mm. Food is good.
Thanks for having us. Very exciting.
Oh, look, it's just a pleasure to give independent artists like yourself that voice. That's what 3CR is here for, with all those musical styles. So,
we appreciate it.
It's a win-win. What is not a win-win is that is a slight technical hitch here, which we will fix. But, thanks for coming in, and have some more music while I get my guest on the Zoom, next guest on the Zooms. And, 3CR, 855 AM, 3CR Digital, 3cr.org.au, 3CR On Demand, Out of the Pan with Sally.
How much does it take to fill your broken cup? If I could pour you a river, well, tell me, would that be enough? Every promise made, I've kept. Still don't trust the best thing that's happened to you yet. Oh.
did this to you. It dry again and again. What does it take to stop you spinning in reverse, to feed your hunger and satisfy your thirst? Tell me, oh baby blue, who did this to you?
Pan thanks Go Kindly for their sponsorship of this program. Go Kindly creates high-quality, locally made bedding, donating 50% of profits to support women and gender diverse people experiencing housing stress. Check out gokindly.com.au and take their pillow quiz.
Thank you.
3CR, 855 AM, 3CR Digital, 3cr.org.au, 3CR On Demand, Out of the Pan with Sally. First broadcasting noon through one every Sunday afternoon. Thanks for your company. And we heard before what we just heard from Jade Starr and Gender Optimised 2.0, which seems like a very good trans song to me. Because we are. And we also heard from our sponsors. Thanks to Go Kindly, as always. And we heard from Jeff Healy, a posthumous release from Heal My Soul in 2016 and Baby Blue. Well, you won't get the blues if you go to great comedy festival shows. I saw a few during the week. I saw Justine Sless, with whom I chatted 2 weeks ago. Also have seen Cabin Pressure with Sonny Youngsmith, which was very funny. And also Jesse Ryan, All Guts, No Glory, Non-Binary Finery. But there's plenty of great comedy of all sorts. But this show obviously wants to promote queer, including trans comedians. I have one such person on the line now, and she's in Melbourne for the festival. Welcome, Sam Nicaresti, to 3CR.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
You are very, very welcome, and thanks for joining on this Easter Sunday as well. What made someone, I'll say tongue-in-cheek, be silly enough to want to get into comedy?
I wasn't good at anything else, so it's all I have, really. Would have loved to have plied a trade, maybe gone into banking, but unfortunately, jokes is what God furnished me with, so here we are.
Fair enough. And you've recently had a huge run, which always, I find amazing that someone has done the Edinburgh Festival, which of course is one of the huge comedy festivals of the world. How was that experience?
It's one of the biggest. It was good, you know. I mean, obviously easier for us to get up there because, being from the UK, but I've been there many years. I always love going to Edinburgh. I'm loving being in Melbourne as well. It's very nice to be in a city where the comedy is the main event rather than the fringe on the side. It's a very different vibe. I love Edinburgh. I think it's a wonderful opportunity to see lots of really cool shows and have a good time and develop work. And, all of the politics of how unaffordably expensive it is and how much you get leached by the landlords. It's an important thing.
Landlords. Plenty of things I could say, probably better not. Otherwise, I could be in lawyer territory, which would be a rich occupation like the bankers, or dare I say merchant bankers for some rhyming slang, but we won't go any further. I loved the description of your comedy festival show for Melbourne International Comedy Festival, which just had a range of topics for your show, Baby Doomer, which I think is, I might ask, start there actually before I get into the description. What was the idea of putting that up as a title, a name for the show?
Quite often the way that the festival seasons work, you have to submit the blurb before you've written the show. So in all honesty, it was just one of the sort of word spaghetti pun, interesting little names that I was putting out that kind of worked, but also it has ended up, kind of working for the show. The show is a lot about, starting hormones and like moving into a kind of a childless, godless state of transition in which there is no future for my loins. And so the idea of becoming a baby doomer, is kind of there. And also, like, there's a lot of themes about doomerism and feeling hopeless and helpless. Maybe less of that now. Some of that material's got cut because I found more room for joy. But, I think the title holds up and does make sense. But it was more of a cosmic choice than a rational one.
Fair enough. Yes. No, I do understand that idea of, you've got to get these things in early and come up with a title, and then shows you know, evolve by the minute and that sort of thing of all sorts of shows, comedy or arts or whatever else it is. There's so much in just the description on the comedyfestival.com.au site for your show. And I'm going to start here, quote, delusional queer icon Sam Nicaresti brings a glistening diamond hour of stand-up about love, insanity, and the hunt for the perfect skirt suit, end quote. That's probably enough to start with. There's plenty more listed as well. Pick out any part of that you want and tease us about how that fits into the show.
I mean, I'll be honest, as the show's developed, it's become more and more about the skirt suit, but there's barely room for anything else at this point. It is a show that takes the hunt for the skirt suit as its main theme and then diverges from there into many different stories about being in a kind of a middle stage of transition. I've done two trans shows now. I may do a third, but I might not. And the first show was very much about early transition, all of the questioning and self-doubt and arguments and internalized phobias and dreads and fears that you have. And then this show is a lot more about like reaching that point where you're finding community and you're starting to come into yourself and you're kind of realizing that like it's a lot easier and you can relax into it. Like not everything is so heavy. Things can just be light. But also, like, the world outside is still on fire and everybody wants to kill you. So it's, like, marrying those two things and taking the skirt suit as a... I don't want to say just a metaphor because it genuinely is about the perfect skirt suit. but, you know, it's about shades of light and dark and two pieces and dichotomies and everything. And the skirt suit just seemed to encapsulate all of these ideas I wanted to talk about. And it allowed me to write off any skirt suits I bought as tax deductible, so...
Oh, yes, research costs and all that sort of thing, which...
Exactly, yes, yeah. You won't believe how much has gone on skirt suits.
Well, there you go, yes. Well, you've got to do shows, right? And, you know, look, to use from... As a trained accountant, although not a, I am a legal tax specialist in Australia, it's expenses incurred in the that are in the creation of taxable income. So, yep, suits Australian
That's
tax
exactly
law as well.
It.
But... you know, look, you've touched on something which... sorry, I cut over you there.
I was just going to say, next year I'm going to do a show about buying a house.
Ah, that's an idea. Makes notes copiously and, you know, see if I can negative
in
Australia.
Anyone maybe. Listening.
Sorry?
I encourage anyone listening, just go to an open mic night, do 5 minutes about your mortgage, you're done.
Yeah, some more Australian tax slang, negative gearing. There we go. In comedy, that's I like that concept.
Negative gearing, I like that a lot. Yeah. Negative gearing. I have a lot of negative gearing in my life.
Oh.
Especially since starting hormones, am I right?
yes, there can be negative gearing in all sorts of lives. It's a great play on words. I think we'll have to take out joint copyright on that one. But
sure, yeah, we'll collab.
On a serious note, I mean, you know, I think it would be almost remiss of me. I mean, you know. You know, we talk about the difficulties of trans life, the world out there, that sort of thing. And look, the UK, and this is only, of course, what we can hear in the media. You know, we're aware of the, well, I'll be blunt, I can be blunt on this show, the ridiculous court case, which was appalling in terms of process, in terms of outcome, because there's no such term as biological sex anywhere in the law and all that sort of thing. But it leads to the question, what is, you know, from your experience, either subjective or whatever is going, you've heard, what is, you know, life like for trans people in the UK, say in the last 12 months or so?
Well, we're all holding our bladders.
Hmm.
I'll say that none of us have been to the toilet in public in over a year now, and we are absolutely busting to go. I mean, it is getting drastic out there. I think obviously it's bad. I think it's bad the world over. Like everywhere you go, there are a lot of laws being put in place, like India trying to introduce its trans card system, identification system. There are many bad things I hear going on in Australia. Everywhere is having the argument about trans women's inclusion in sports and, you know, the army and all of these things, like exclusion from public life, third space, othering. Britain has always kind of like led the way in terms of like bureaucratic legislation that punish minorities and marginalized people. We're very good at it. And we exported that through our empire across the world, and we're very proud of it. But, you know, it's important to, like, I guess, not forget that, like, we do still have community, and the community is really strong at the moment, especially where I live in London. But in most cities like Bristol, Manchester, Edinburgh, Glasgow, like, there are really strong pockets of trans community, dyke community, protest resistance, like mutual aid, you know, these things that flourish in the cracks. And I would always encourage any trans people that feel that they are suffering under the polished boot of authoritarianism to seek out community, because community is resistance and it's love. But yeah, I mean, on a real note, yeah, the UK be bad. The UK be a sort of a prison state turf island, some are saying. Wow. Run by paedophiles, but we don't, you know, it's to say, allegedly.
Yeah, no. You know, look, I admire that you can, you know, sort of find, well, you know, sort of, I'll use the term dry humour in the midst of it, because, you know, it just, you know, I think you're possibly the first person who lives in the UK that I've spoken to about this, say, in the last year, which... you know, it's just that's the way it's happened. And I do appreciate that you were willing to answer that question, because it does bring home that things, you know, are, you know, sort of obviously where things are at, and, you know, that Australia is having to fight hard against the anti-trans and general right-wing push. And I also, you know, the fact that you've acknowledged the colonialism in there, definitely with dry humour, but you've touched on that, I think, is also commendable as well, that you are able, you know, that you are seeing that. And, yeah, it's, you know, there's, you know, a lot to think about in that. But apart from skirt suits, let's come back to your show in the Melbourne International Comedy Festival, Sam. What other topics? The second paragraph, sartorial emergency to the standing stones of Cornwall. You are, you know, also comes into it as well. But anything else about that, the things we mentioned earlier, as well as those things that you want to tease us about, your show Baby Doomer.
I would say that the bulk of the show is about one story about a pride 2 years ago. First time I've been to Trans Pride, which I don't think you have in Australia, according to trans people I've spoken to, but we do in the UK, and it happens during normal Pride Month. And I was there for the first time, and it is about me trying on a dress in a high street retail shop, and things going a little awry in a way that I think is very familiar to many women, and I've learned is a very common experience amongst many women. And it was a traumatic experience that allowed me to like write a lot of material and jokes about the idea of changing rooms, and taking the idea of a changing room as a flashpoint for this, you know, this gendered space and the way it's policed, and just trying to be like a human being operating in the world, trying to be beautiful, trying to serve, like, and the show is just kind of about that, and then spirals off from there. It's also about Gollum from Lord of the Rings, and it's about nephews, and it is about magic, realism, changing your name, and cats. I would say those are the themes of the show.
Cats. Now that's always a good thing, in my opinion. As I learnt in Russian some years ago, Bezuma Koshka, crazy cat lady here, does approve. Bezuma Koshka.
I love that. I'm going to write that down. Bezuma Koshka. I love that.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing.
Oh, the pleasure is all theirs, as Jesse Ventura, pioneering heel wrestling commentator would have said. There is the obligatory professional wrestling reference in every edition of Out of the Pan at 12:50 today. It's a running joke on this show that what time will that reference be? So you're into your season already. So you've got that sort of first night nerves out of the system, if I have it right. You started last week with the close to the opening of the festival, and so you've still got shows left.
I do, and I mean, I've been touring this show. The show won the Perrier Award at the Edinburgh Fringe this last year, not to toot my own trumpet, but also promo. And it's just like been on a big UK tour, and it's like had a big West End run, and now it's here. So it is not the first time I've done a show. I think we're on about show 100.
Whoa.
At this point. And it's always changing, always evolving. I'm putting in new jokes every day and taking out things and tinkering. So, you know, if you want to come see it, even if you think you've seen it before, baby, you ain't seen it, because I've only just perfected the ending. And it's going to be on, I think, until the 19th. So it's not on Mondays, but there's, you do the maths, an amount of dates left.
Yep, that's right. You've got tonight, Sunday shows, if I have this right, as I scroll up and down, are at 5:20 p.m. and the Mondays.
Yeah, they're an hour earlier.
Yeah, so everyone can. I don't know why this Sunday they'd need to be earlier, but I suppose consistency. So on the other Sundays, people aren't out late on a school night, as they used to say. You've got the Air Asia Tight Ass Tuesdays on the 7th and 14th, and you have an Ausland performance on Wednesday the 15th.
Yeah, I do. That'll be fun. That's the day after I'm going on Puffing Billy.
Ooh. And now you're into Melbourne. Enjoy that. Yes. Yeah. I think there's got to be some material in there from Puffing Billy, although we love it here in Melbourne. It is an icon. And you're right in the centre of Melbourne at the Western, that's Westin, in Collins Street in the city. So very, very central for public transport. Portation and other things as well, near the corner of Collins and Swanson streets.
It's just across the road from the Athenaeum. That's where it is. It's very central. It's a big swanky hotel. It's crazy in there. Ooh. It's so posh.
Ooh. You've got to make. That's why you needed skirt suits. You didn't want to turn up in your in your knee hole jeans or anything. You wouldn't have fitted in.
Honestly, they'd kick me out. Yeah, if you're going to come to the show, you've got to dress sharp, otherwise you ain't getting past the doorman. I'll say that for free.
All right, then. As a friend of mine used to call skirt suits money penny suits. Dig out your money penny suits, people of all genders, equivalent thereof, if you identify as man or non-binary. Yes, look swish. I love the authenticity of the show, and lots of trans comics putting their own slant on the world and making people laugh, which goodness knows we always need enough of that. So, Sam, as we say in Australia, and there is a meaning behind this, which you may have heard, chookers, which is good luck for the rest of the season and your comedy career. And
yes, thank you, chookers. Yes, I was told it means full house, chicken tonight.
That's it. Puffing Billy chookers. Yeah, you'll have to start changing. You'll have to start changing your accent. You're getting really Australian, Sam.
I know. I feel it.
As we used to say in the 1960s, beardy mate. Seriously, have a great season. Thank you for your time coming on the show today, particularly if you are out catching shows late last night. This is very, very, very early, although, of course, you got an extra hour's sleep like everyone did last night.
I got an extra hour of being awake, but yes, the hour was had.
Yeah, well, look, it can be a non-binary glass if we want it to be as well. Seriously, have a great season. Thank you for your time. as I say, keep up all the fun and keep writing the gags.
Yeah, thank you, Sally. The glass is exactly where it's at. Lovely to speak to you. And yeah, thanks for having me on.
Pleasure. Catch you later. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Sam Nicaresti there with Baby Duma at the Westin, W-E-S-T-I-N, hotel in Collins Street, Westin 2, it says here on the site, 205 Collins Street, right in the heart of the Central Business District in Melbourne, in my best bad American who didn't check the sort of voice, and I don't know why I said that, but I did. And there it is. What a packed program today. So many great trans and queer creators out there. Thanks again to Maxon and Naomi for coming in. Thanks to Sam. We'll take it out today with music of some sort. What have we got to finish off the show? I have no idea because I used all my CD tracks and now I've got to find something. I know, we'll take it out before we go to Freedom of Species with Estelle Conley and Fiona, which is a track that came my way through all the musical channels that I have and access. A beautiful song, which I liked as well. A dreamy singer, dreamy folk singer songwriter hailing from Nam, Melbourne. So let's take it out with Estelle Conway and Fiona. Thanks for tuning in to Out of the Pan. I'm Sally Goldner. Catch you next week.
Of us two, you're looking ahead, I'm looking at you. I'm missing a lifetime ago, and the lines on your face I'll never know.
Listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.